Welcome to another episode of the Infamous Podcast. Ooh. I am your host, Johnny Potthoff.
J. Johnny Potthoff.
Damn that Spider-Man.
Potluck Potthoff.
Potluck Potthoff. Dude, I'm calling you Potluck from now on. That is your new nickname.
No, it already has been my nickname. Oh. There's a guy that I worked with that was a manager. He got transferred to another store.
Yeah.
And he...
Did he have a potluck?
His last name is Fagans. But he told me the story about how...
Fagans?
Yeah. So this story about how they went to a restaurant and... I think the person, when they called their name, called him Fig Newton. So now I call him Fig Newton, Fig and he Newton. Calls me Potluck.
There you go.
Potluck.
I like it. I'm going to call you Potluck from
this
now
is
on.
Johnny Potluck. Listen to Johnny Potluck's podcast. It's the Potluck Podcast.
That's a lot of P's right there.
Alliteration.
Kind of adjust your gain a little
Alliteration.
Bit. Do your potluck.
Oh, and this is Brian, in case anybody didn't know. And this is episode 55, What Makes Invincible So Special.
I'm going to stop this now.
No, you're not. Keep going.
Why?
Because this is the show.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Hi.
You can stop it if you want to.
No, so we got a new toy.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why this nonsense started the way it did.
We're testing out the new toy.
So we are now being heard on brand new microphones. You can tighten that on the side there.
Here?
Yeah. As far as like the spinning it around. So we're still, we have a quote unquote new studio. And we're getting used to it still.
I burnt the last one down in my last quitting time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last time you quit, you did come with a flamethrower. But no,
just call me Potluck Firefly.
Potluck.
Potluck.
So I'm going to change everything on the website.
Hashtag Potluck.
To call you Potluck. All right. So this week we are we're getting back to some roots. Roots. Not those roots. But no, part of like what we want to do with the show
I was totally going to make a roots joke, but I don't know if that's appropriate.
Probably not.
The what's your name? What's your name? You know
Slim
that,
Shady.
You? No, you know
I
that.
Know. Toby. Yeah.
No, it's Potluck.
Yeah. Potluck. All right. So anyway, so kind of the whole thing when we started doing this, even before Johnny was here, the whole idea that the brainchild of this was to make comics accessible for people, right?
Oh no, can't say that.
Yeah. Anywho, and so today
that would be BP before potluck.
Before potluck. Anyway, so what we're gonna do today is we're gonna talk about one of our favorite characters, in comics.
Yes.
Excuse me, and give the history of him and you know, kind of go into it.
Another damn Grayson.
Another damn.
That's what you should have called the episode. Another damn Grayson.
I can still call it that. It's not too late.
I already pronounced that it was episode 55. What makes Invincible so special?
Edit.
Oh, nice.
Anyway,
throw some static in there.
Yeah. So I can bleep you. Actually, I don't know if I know how to do that yet. So, anywho. Lots of learning. But no, so...
Came with an instruction book, right? You can read the instruction book.
What, are you a woman?
I'm not going to ask for directions.
No, are you kidding? I scoured YouTube for, like, videos to learn how to use this thing. So.
Did it actually come with any kind of instruction book?
Like a two-page book that tells you what each of these things are. Yeah. So, we have a mixing board.
Modern
I don't know if
technology.
I actually said that. So.
You just said we had a new studio.
Yeah, we have a new... today is brought to you by Audio Technica. Thank you for the microphones.
They didn't give them to us. We bought the damn things.
I know, but maybe they'll reimburse us. And then Behringer for the mixing board, which maybe they'll reimburse us. Who knows?
Tom Behringer?
No.
Oh, damn it.
No, not Roger Dorn.
Damn it.
But anyway, so yeah, so we're going to talk about Invincible today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that, there were just three little things that kind of came up in the news. The first being comic book writer, TV writer, all around
writer.
Geek icon, J. Michael Straczynski has announced that he's leaving comics. There is a link to a fantastic article from Newsarama on the show notes that I really encourage everyone to go read.
Well, it's actually a letter from
Joe. It's from him, yeah. And there are, and I'm going to warn you, there are some
pictures,
disturbing pictures, because he was having issues with his eyesight, mm-hmm. which I didn't know about. And, you know,
he's the second comic book person that, like, I've heard of in the last few years that's actually having issues, because George Perez has had a lot of eye surgery.
Yeah.
And that, so I don't know.
All right. But,
are you nervous about what it's doing?
Yeah. Hold on.
All right. We're back?
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, okay.
All right, sorry, guys.
Brian was a little worried about me not being recorded.
Well, I'm worried because they want to hear what you have
to say. With the new technology, we actually watch ourselves being recorded, you know, a little podcast 101. So, like, when we used to record, we were on two channels, and my voice would, like, look like a rapid heartbeat.
Your voice looked like a solid white line compared to my tiny little heartbeat.
Well, right, yeah, yeah. So. That's what, but, like, before, mine looked like a rapid heartbeat all over the place. So this thing's equalized out my voice.
You're welcome.
I have a booming voice.
Booming.
Because I'm a giant of a potluck man.
Giant potluck.
I'm thinking that's a new superhero.
Yeah, potluck. Giant potluck. He, you know, it could be an Inhuman since there's no more mutants.
Nice.
Goddamn Marvel comics. Anyway, so back to my
Jay Michael Straczynski. Now you hate DC and Marvel. So,
equally.
Yeah.
So Image,
Brian's
don't.
Going strictly Image and Dark Horse.
Image and Dark Horse. Don't let me. Oh. And Oni Press.
And Oni
because
Press. Oh, yeah. Mighty Zodiacs.
Freaking
them.
Jay Torres is the man.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's awesome. And if you haven't ordered the Mighty Zodiac and you're listening to this the day this comes out on Friday, it's your last day to order number 5 for pre-order at your local comic book store. So make it happen. Please.
I'm buying it, but I'm going to wait until the end and just read it all at once.
Yeah. Well, the Kidbot is buying it, and she's reading it all,
sure,
but then
yeah.
she's waiting to put all the connected covers together.
That's what I'm getting, are the
connected
yeah,
covers. And she's going to, like, you know, love it. And then I think when she's done, she might join us to talk about it.
Okay.
So
because, then I have to read it.
Yeah. Well, so will I. I haven't read the last two, so mainly because she took them and read them. And I've been buying them with the bag and board for her. And she puts them away.
Yeah.
So she puts them in the
box. You got to get your own copy, Dad.
I know. So she understands
well,
vault rules.
Does Oni do the
We're on
thing
such a
where
tangent.
They put the – well, this is fine because it's comic books. And that.
I know. I know.
Does Oni publish a trade like right after the series is over, like with something like that, or do they wait?
I have no idea.
Okay.
The last Oni thing I read was Queen and Country.
Okay.
So actually no, Stumptown.
Volumes.
Stumptown. But I did the Greg Rucka one.
Right.
So I don't remember if that ever came out in trade or not. I'm sure it did, but
I think it did. I've got a few of those.
I got the individual issues for like I think the first 5 or 6. And then anyway, so back to J. Michael Straczynski. So he was dealing with some eyesight issues. He's, you know, it was a great letter because it's basically a great, you know, what, 2,000-3,000 word autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how, you know, he was at different stages of his life. And he gets to the point where he's kind of felt like he's hit his creative apex.
Yeah.
And then it's time to blow it up and start over. And that's what he's doing.
And he's
doing.
Done it before. So it's
yeah.
like, he is an evolving writer because, I mean, like, you know, we knew him, or I knew him as a TV writer before a comic book writer
right.
because I had watched Babylon 5.
Well, and you watched He-Man and She-Ra.
He-Man
which
and
he
She-Ra,
wrote a ton of episodes
I mean,
of both.
Captain Power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I didn't
like,
realize Captain Power until not
yeah.
too long ago.
Yeah. Well, he wrote a lot of the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Which
now,
one.
Which he mentions in there,
yeah.
but it's like, you know, if you're watching those, you know, shows now with your kids or whatever, if you grew up with those shows and you're watching them now, you catch it in the credits that Joe Straczynski wrote an episode. So it's like, you're like, oh, hey, I know who that is. And
right.
But it's like, you know, my first introduction to him obviously was those cartoons, but my real being aware of him introduction was Babylon 5.
Right, right.
Which was an epic story.
Oh, yeah.
And then he started doing Amazing Spider-Man.
Which I've still never watched.
Wow.
So.
You'll have to,
I know, and
have
I definitely
want
to check. It's always been. Isn't it doesn't stream anywhere?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. At least, I don't think I would probably be watching it if it did.
So, his 6-year run on Amazing Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
is it's one of my favorite runs.
And I
it's mired in
couple years of that.
It has up and downs. It's not perfect.
It's one of those things where he is a good writer, and you know, every story that I've ever read of his or watched of his has ups and downs. There are moments where the story will go down a little bit and then it goes back up, because I think it's not that he like doesn't have the story in mind. It's more the fact that he is going in a direction and has to do a pitfall to go back up.
Right.
Because it's one of those things where, you know, the spider god thing was kind of a weird.
Well, the whole totems and and honestly, Dan Slott paid it off with Spider-Verse.
Right.
Like he really did. Now I'll say this. I like Straczynski's Spider-Man way more than I like Dan Slott's Spider-Man.
Really?
And it's unfortunate that you can't ever like say, hey, Dan Slott, like you're just okay. Because then he's like, oh, you're bullying me. And it's like, no, you're just.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is Dan Slott that type of
dude,
guy?
Dude, he's so sensitive. And it's not even funny.
Whereas Joe will just punch in the face.
Yeah, Joe will punch me in the face and be like, well, you're going to spend the $2.99 on the book. Because I think that's what it was at the time. I think they were $2.99.
He'll punch you in the face now and say, buy my novels.
Yeah, so now he's going to be a novelist.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And I'll totally check out his books and support like the first couple.
And he did write a few Babylon 5 novels.
Did he?
And that tied, like, Babylon 5 is his own creation.
Right.
So there is a lot of history to that series. So he wrote comic books. He wrote a couple novels. He wrote the series. And everything tied together. Cool. Like, actually, there's, like, novels that are canon with that series. Not like Star Trek or Star Wars,
where
there's books that do not tie into the canon. And the comic book, two comic book miniseries that he wrote. Well, one was an actual series that he wrote and other people wrote. And then the miniseries tie into the history of Babylon 5.
Nice.
So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, with that, it's like his baby. And that's what I said. That's what I told you when you asked me if I had seen this.
Right.
You know, I hope he writes some stuff about Bruce Boxleitner's character was John Sheridan.
Mm-hmm.
And he married one of the alien characters and they had a son.
Oh.
But they've never really acknowledged that son in the storyline, except that something happened to him.
Okay.
And I'm like, I hope that one of the novels he writes is the story of David.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as comics go, like, you know, there's Spider-Man, there was Midnight Nation, which I love.
Midnight Nation is like, if it's one of those things, if you want to read a quick story that's like 12 issues, Midnight Nation is the story to read.
Right.
Rising Stars.
Well,
I enjoyed the first two stories.
The first two trades, and then all but the last two issues.
Like, what, three? Was it three trades?
Three trades, and then there were some like kind of spinoff. Like,
yeah, there
books.
Was
like Matthew Bright
Matthew
had the
Bright
book, and there was the other one about the what's her name, the assassin.
I don't remember because that's been almost 15 years ago since I read those.
And Rising Stars is one of my go-tos, like when I travel.
Yeah,
like I still
that
bring
first story with Rising Stars is a great origin story for a superhero,
just for a universe.
Yeah.
To start out, like to start a universe that doesn't have any powers.
Yeah.
And Rising Stars will definitely be something we cover kind of with our
direction that we're
gonna go for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, he wrote something called Dream Police, which I never read.
I never did read that. Yeah. but
he's definitely one of those writers where it's like, you know, I look forward to what he does next. Yeah, he left comic books, but I look forward to what he does next.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's always reinventing himself, which is awesome, so.
I think he wrote one of the Angelina Jolie movies. The Changeling?
Okay.
I think he wrote that.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it either, but yeah, I think he wrote it. So, you know, he's very prolific with what he does, so no worries. I'm sure whatever comes about of his novels will be awesome.
Yeah,
you know, be it ebooks, be it actual novels,
whatever.
Like I said, I hope for a story of David Sheridan, and that would be fun.
That would be awesome. Yeah. All right, so then our next little news bite is Marvel and Netflix released the more information about when everything's coming out.
Oh, this one I hadn't seen.
So Luke Cage starts on September 30th.
Right, that I knew. They announced that at San Diego.
So. And then Iron Fist and Defenders will both premiere in 2017. Jessica Jones season 2 will premiere back to back with the Defenders, and then
so if Defenders is going to end and Jessica Jones is going to,
yes,
okay,
from the way they've said, wow, this, and they're filming them back to back too, so and then the Punisher and Daredevil season 3 will hit Netflix in 2018.
Okay.
So yeah. And they're
is the Dare or the Punisher going to actually be a full, like,
it's a full 13? Season. Yeah. Full. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know how I feel about that. Cause I said, when we talked about this months ago,
the Punisher show up in Defenders and there'd be like a way that it leads into his story would be interesting. Like,
well, if, and when asked if, he's going to be in Defenders, Marvel has said, quote unquote, stay tuned.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in Defenders.
I mean, it's one of those things where they left him at a point where it's like, yeah, you can do, Frank Castle stories, but there has to be a reason for the story.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get the Garth Ennis, welcome back Frank storyline.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would like to see, like, maybe not in the first season, but like in if there's a subsequent season, the most recent arc that Rucka did,
okay,
where he had the protege, the woman whose family was murdered, and she was the Marine.
Yeah,
and
I didn't
everything.
Read it, but
oh, dude, it was awesome. She made him look like tame.
Oh wow! All
right, and then the last thing I want to talk about here is the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Now I've seen it. You haven't.
Nope.
And by the time this airs, you will probably have seen it.
Well, when this post, yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll by the time someone's listening to this, you've
most likely
seen it.
I'll be in the theater watching it that Friday.
Rotten Tomatoes has this at, what is it right now? It's at 29%.
It's all a conspiracy.
Well, here's the thing. All right. First off, so some jackhole made a petition to take Rotten Tomatoes down. All right. It has 5,000 signatures. The majority of the people who signed that only signed it so they could leave comments making fun of this dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, first off, his grammar is all over the place in the thing.
Oh, nice.
And, like, you know, it's whatever. English probably isn't his first language, so I'm going to give him a pass.
Okay.
But, you know, the internet does not. Here's the thing.
The internet.
Dear internet.
The internet is they now.
Yeah.
They, those people. Those people are the internet.
So, well, okay, here's the thing. This movie...
Yeah.
Is a hot mess. This movie is a ton of fun.
Is it because of the editing?
So
the going back and making it Deadpool funny?
So, and it never got to that point where it was Deadpool funny. But here's the thing, is you look at this versus Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which someone reviewed it and said that it's worse than Fantastic Four.
No, like, it is absolutely not.
How did you? How but do you get like that?
But here's the thing: is you can see the parts of this where Warner's came in and dictated.
Yeah.
All right. David Ayer is a much better filmmaker than Josh Trank.
Okay.
Because the parts that are David Ayer, it's like I want to see the rest of that movie.
Like you want to see them do like they did with Superman versus Batman, where there's going to be a director's cut.
Yeah, or just the ultimate cut.
Right.
That, like, but, all right, so here's the thing.
The suicide cut.
The things that are
damn
good.
Damn it, Warner Brothers is going to do that now, and I'm going to be like, oh!
TM. Suicide cut TM. There, we trademarked it. All right. Here's what's good about this movie.
Is that all it takes now?
Yeah, I don't know. But so I'm not going to spoil anything for you. But here's what I liked, what I found was good. Harley Quinn,
which
Margot Robbie was awesome. She did not steal scenes. She made everyone in the scene better.
Everything I've seen her in, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
I just watched one with her yesterday with Chiwetel Ejiofor and
The one that's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really good. It's only the three of them.
Yeah.
And I'm
cool.
Man, it's
on my watch. I put it on my watch list. All right. So Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Awesome. The only issue with Harley Quinn is David Ayer is in love with her butt.
Okay.
Because you will see more of Margot Robbie's butt on the big screen than you ever wanted to see.
Okay.
So, not that that's a bad thing.
I was going to say,
she's beautiful and lovely.
Not many men will be complaining about that.
The number one complaint I had going into this movie was Will Smith is playing my favorite villain.
Okay.
God damn it, I liked him.
I was not aware that Deadshot was your favorite villain.
Oh, yeah. He always has been.
Okay.
So, I've always liked... Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So...
You liked him.
There were so I, our buddy Daryl and I went to see it.
Yeah.
There was more than one time when I leaned over to him and I was like, that was badass.
Yeah.
With Will Smith stuff. He did not overplay this.
Right.
He was not the bad guy with a heart of gold. It did the whole
more
thing.
Like the character, like from watching the previews and seeing what was it? Last Man on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That it's kind of that he's playing that subdued.
He did. He
kind of
that's,
thing.
That's yeah. a great way to put it. He was awesome. If they said this is what he played this, how he should have played Hancock.
Okay. Which so, I like Hancock.
And I like Hancock too.
I like Hancock.
The second half of Hancock kind of fell off the rails.
Yeah, but you know, right. It's a fun,
and
weird
then
movie.
The third thing that I loved about this movie, and I loved,
yeah,
is Jay Hernandez as Diablo.
Okay.
Like, I've liked Jay Hernandez since Hostel.
Okay.
He worked with David Ayer in End of Watch.
Right.
You know, he's done, you know, he was in Takers with Matt Dillon and
yeah, he's
you know,
been
all
in
those
a
guys.
Been
like,
a
I always enjoy it when I see him.
Yeah.
First off, he's unrecognizable.
Right.
Like,
because they've got,
like,
well, he's all
he's
tatted
got the
up
tats
and, yeah.
and the.
He shaved his head and everything for this movie.
Diablo was my favorite part of this
yeah.
movie. All right. Now, where this movie falls apart. Narratively, it's a mess.
Well, yeah.
And part of that, well, here's the thing, though. Part of that is
fingers
the,
in there.
Is the studio. The other part of that is I'm pretty sure David Ayer was watching Guardians of the Galaxy and Ghostbusters on a loop
okay.
while writing this.
Okay.
And that'll make
Did
sense.
Did he write when, it?
Yeah, he
okay.
wrote and directed.
Okay.
All right. So that'll make more sense when you see
yeah.
it. All right. The next thing I hated, or the thing that I hated, because I only hated one thing.
Right.
In this
well,
movie,
yeah. yeah.
And it was Jared Leto as the goddamn Joker. All right. Yeah, and I said that's on purpose.
I'm the goddamn Joker.
That, he essentially did that. Now, there were cool visuals with him.
No,
where
it's like I should, like I told you, they should have just called him Joker because he's a gangster
yeah.
Joker.
Well,
he's literally,
you're not wrong.
It's literally when I seen the first images of him and he's wearing the grill and he's got the tattoos
yeah.
like on his face and that. I just, you know, and it's nothing against any group because there's all kinds of different
Dude,
people.
Tons of people have face
tattoos. And I'm
tattoos.
Like, you're trying to be gangster. And it's like, that's not gangster.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, so his laugh was awful. His look was awful. Like, you know, I'm one who I will wait until I see it in motion to really judge, like, the character design.
Should Will Smith have played the Joker?
No.
Okay.
The Joker should absolutely not have been in this movie.
At all.
Because every time the Joker, anytime the story started to get momentum.
The Joker showed up.
They brought the Joker in, and it just derailed everything. Now, visually, there were some cool things. They did some cool, like the one where it's the Joker in the tuxedo and
yeah.
Harley. Like, they had that.
They had
visual.
Some fun images.
They definitely had
visually
fun.
In the preview, Joker looks interesting, but I was like, I'm not feeling it because I'm not a Jared Leto fan.
Right.
The
yeah.
only thing I
he's
remember
a,
Jared
he's
Leto
a tough
from
pill to swallow.
Is My So-Called yeah. Life, where he played a flopsy haired boy. I don't even remember him in Fight
he
Club.
He was the blonde dude that Ed Norton wanted to destroy something beautiful.
Yeah, well.
And
yeah.
then, you know, as Miles Halberstam in American Psycho.
See, I don't remember.
He's the one
that
Christian Bale axes while
well,
there.
Well, I would too.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
but
well,
anyway.
I must be an American Psycho.
All right, so then other good parts. Killer Croc was great. Adebisi did awesome.
Yeah, Adewale.
So. I always call him Adebisi because that's his character name from Oz.
Mr. Echo.
Yeah, Mr. Echo. Jai Courtney, surprisingly good. They should have given him more to do.
Maybe he'll show up in the Flash movie.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, because
he is Captain Boomerang.
Well,
right?
And that's the whole tie-in with
yeah.
the, you know, worst kept secret that the Flash is in this movie.
Right.
Katana was set dressing.
Oh, he is?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Anyway.
I knew Batman was in this movie.
So, Katana was set dressing. She's essentially the Boba Fett of this film.
Okay.
So she doesn't talk
Does the
much.
Sword talk to her?
It does. And okay. She talks
right,
to the
well,
sword.
Right,
so.
Yeah, but they show like something in the preview where it looks like the sword.
She has a great moment
okay.
with the sword.
Which, that's all I ask. If you're going to have Katana in the movie, make it where the sword's talking
to her. And it's the soul
sword.
It's not like the crap light version of Katana they did on Arrow.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right. And then Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah. You don't like him.
I really don't like him. Yeah.
He'd still kick your ass.
Oh, yeah. I'm a pudgy, you know.
Yeah.
Kid who lives in the Midwest. The more I see him, the more I wonder how he keeps getting cast in movies.
Because he actually, like, looks awesome. I mean, in all seriousness, Joel Kinnaman is a good-looking man.
I mean, he has the military, like, right, look and feel. Like, well, I'll give you that. So,
but, I mean, he's what I would call a good-looking man.
Yeah.
And that, like, a leading man look.
Sure.
So, it's like, you know, it's just he hasn't got that leading man role yet. Probably they were hoping this was it.
I think he has the leading man look.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the leading man skill set.
It might be the writing, too, because on The Killing, I thought he was good on The Killing.
He's the reason I stopped watching The Killing.
Yeah, well.
So, anyway.
I thought The Killing was more about him than it was about
her. And then the girl from Paper Towns, who was Enchantress,
yeah,
went to the Kristen Stewart school of blank face.
Emotionless
acting. this character has a really interesting arc in this movie that I don't want to spoil for anyone.
Yes,
but
please don't.
For what this character did and went through and was, they needed someone powerful. Like, yeah, they even should have gone for someone probably a little bit older, like an actress in her 30s, maybe even early 40s.
Yeah.
That
kind of makes sense.
Which would have worked so much better. And then lastly, Amanda Waller, Viola Davis. When I talked to you the other day, I was much more adamant about not liking her as Amanda Waller.
Right.
I've since mellowed a little bit on that, but I still would have liked to have seen Retta, who is Donna on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah.
Play.
Treat yourself
to this bullet in your head. Bam.
That would actually been good.
So,
yeah, definitely. If you're listening to this and you haven't looked at IMDb, do not, because they spoil stuff on there too.
Oh yeah, don't look at it.
And what the hell? They spelled Rick Flag wrong.
Two G's.
One G on it.
Blame IMDb. All right, so where this ties back into Rotten Tomatoes? All right, people.
Yeah.
Like, it's an aggregator site for people who review movies. This movie is not made for critics. This movie is barely made for fans. And the reason that people have been so hard on this and on Batman versus Superman is because they expect more from Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
That's the reason. With Marvel, you know what you're going to get, and Marvel delivers. DC is floundering like a fish out of water right now, trying to catch its breath and catch up and get back into the game. They need to take a step back. They need to really think about this, and they better bring it with Wonder Woman.
Is it the thought that when you go into a Marvel movie, you know you're going to be entertained?
Yeah.
You may not know the story. Like, right. You know, because I talk to people who don't know comic books, and, like, we were talking the other day about Superman versus Batman.
Right.
Because I told a guy at work, I was like, yeah, it's not that good.
Right.
And I said, it's decent, but it's not that good. Well, he bought it, and he watched it, and he came back, and he told me, he goes, you were right.
Yeah.
And we got into a discussion, and I said, you know, Marvel can do a movie like Ant-Man where nobody knows about that character unless you read comic books or you've watched a cartoon with Ant-Man in it.
Right.
I said, nobody knows about that. And he goes, and him and another guy were like, yeah, I didn't know who that character was, and I'm entertained by that movie.
Well, because they do a better job of casting.
Well, yeah, that
too. You know, there's that. But look at Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's the most, it's an apples to apples comparison with this movie, right?
Right.
Marvel went for it.
Yeah.
They said, you know, we're going to put this movie out that the majority of people have never heard of any of these characters.
Right.
You know, the public at large. And we're going to we are going to go for it, and we are going to make an awesome movie. And they got a director who has a great sense of humor.
Right.
All right.
And can go dark when he has to.
With Suicide Squad, they got a director who gets dark and gritty.
Right.
They got a director who can tell a story that's really cohesive and good.
But he's hit or miss. He's hit or miss.
You're right.
Because we talked about, you've seen End of Watch, yeah, you've seen Fury.
Yeah.
End of Watch, you like.
I love End of Watch.
Fury is not that good.
Outside of John Barenthal,
yeah,
it's unwatchable.
Even Shia LaBeouf is good in that movie.
Outside of John Barenthal,
but
it's unwatchable.
Well, that's the thing. Brad Pitt is a good actor. In that movie, he is not good. The story is not good.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's right, like, you know, Brian's getting choked up about Brad Pitt over here.
Oh, Brad Pitt can't act anymore.
Yeah. He can.
I know, I'm kidding. Anyway, so no, you're right. He is hit or miss.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, DC did not believe in the product. Warner Brothers does not believe in DC as a product.
Well, yeah, Warner Brothers doesn't believe in their companies, their subsidized companies,
right,
where Disney does. That's why we're getting good Marvel, we're getting good Star Wars, is because the company that owns that company actually is like, do what you got to do. Yeah. Make us money.
We bought you for billions of dollars for a reason.
Yeah, so make us money. And it's one of those things where Warner has had DC so long that it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, that's our comic book company. Yeah. It's like, you know what? If you just want it that way, then don't make movies and don't make TV shows, because your comic book company is kind of floundering at this
point. So what I've seen from this and the Rebirth that I've read, they need to clean house. That includes Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
Geoff Johns has got to go.
Bring him back just as a writer?
Let him go and do his own creator-owned stuff. Yeah. Like, just, you know, like they need editorial needs to be completely replaced. Right. Dan Didio and Jim Lee need to be thrown in a well and just have lotion drop down to them every once in a while.
Wow.
Until they're supple enough to be made into skin suits.
Okay.
And
wow.
Yeah, that's how I feel strongly. And then they need to get someone in who understands making movies.
Right.
They need to get someone in who is not necessarily a comic book person, but a story person.
Right. So you want to go above even Dan Didio and Jim Lee. Like Diane Nelson's running it, and it's like she has no idea what's going on with this DC, with this comic book thing.
It's very apparent after the trend I've talked to you about,
where it's one of those things where comic books are trending now.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's a fan of comic books.
Right.
And it's like, you know, no, you're not, because you've not read a comic book. You like comic book movies. You like movies with comic book characters in them.
But here's the thing. You like comic book movies? It should be a simple stone's throw to like comic books.
Right.
They don't capitalize on any of this. And I'm not saying, and Marvel's smart. They don't take what's on the screen and say, this is our comic book continuity.
Yeah.
Because, like, unfortunately, Marvel's been kind of all over the place a little bit themselves lately with
the books,
all new now, that kind of stuff. But they're still telling good stories. They're
experimenting, and I appreciate that you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But in DC, it's like you're not experimenting. You're coming into the game late. It's like, you know, we have to do something, quote unquote, with Rebirth,
right?
Because we're shutting down at this point. It's like we're not making money. People aren't buying our books.
So, and I was talking to our local comic shop owner when I was in there on Sunday, and I just said, "Hey, how's Rebirth doing?" He goes, "It's slowing down."
Yeah,
like the people who, you know, we're all excited about it. We're on the fourth issue for some things already, and he's like, "They've dropped them."
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I didn't really care at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, I stuck with the books that I've been picking up. The Green Lantern books.
Right.
And then The Flash and Justice League.
Well, and like Green Lanterns.
And Justice League, I'm like, you know, probably won't get after the third or fourth issue.
Like, I looked at Justice League. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I'm not getting Flash. I'm getting Nightwing. I enjoy it. I'm getting Detective Comics. I enjoy it.
I'm getting Nightwing just because I was buying Nightwing before they canceled it.
I got Batman, which I'm not getting that anymore.
Detective, I dropped.
Superman, I'm not getting. See, I like Detective.
Yeah, but I dropped it because I'm like, trade paperbacks are sometimes the way to go with stories.
Superman, I'm not getting anymore. New Superman was just a train wreck.
I only got the first issue.
Titans. I'm really enjoying Titans, but again, that's the book of my youth.
Right.
You know? So, anyway.
Well, it's one of those ones where, like, you know, I think next week Superwoman is coming out, which is Phil Jimenez, and I'll just check it out because it's Phil Jimenez.
Right.
It's like, you know, if it's good, it's good.
Oh, Wonder Woman. I'm still getting Wonder Woman, but after issue 6, when Frank Cho's not doing covers anymore, I'm probably going to abandon that book. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel that strongly about that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to support him and get his covers.
Right.
And then just be done with it.
Fair enough.
So.
Well, this conversation's gone on way longer than I expected.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about Invincible now.
Sure.
Invincible. All right. First off, if there's anything you have questions about while we're talking, you can go to the show notes. I put together a gigantic history of Invincible with who some of the players are early on. We are
Brian
gonna
had a little bit too much time on his hands.
Well, and I really love this character.
Right.
And we're not gonna get into really the current stuff too much. We're really gonna kind of talk about the beginnings and who he is and some of the history.
It's pretty much why we like this character.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not, you know, this is what happened in this storyline and this is what happened in this storyline. It's why we like this character. Why we like this book.
Right. So,
and this is something we'll be doing kind of like
more regularly.
The cover.
Yeah.
And the cover thing will come back too. We'll do that again. But this is one of those things where it's like, you know, a little bit of history, a little bit of knowledge,
a little bit
of
fanboyish,
just dropping a little bit on people who may not have read this book or even seen this book.
And this is a book, it's on issue like 130 something at this point.
Yeah.
So like what, that can be 14th intimidating.
14th or 15th trade paperback.
More than that.
22 of them 22. So far. Yeah. All right.
So Invincible.
That's in the show notes as well.
Yes. Invincible is a character named Mark Grayson. He's the teenage son of Omni-Man, who is an extraterrestrial superhero from the Viltrumite race. Did I say that right?
I think so.
I've
never had a conversation with Robert Kirkman to find out how you. It could be Viltrumite.
Who knows? But all right. So Johnny.
Vegemite.
The Vegemite race.
Crikey, so, we're from the planet Vegemite. Here we go.
I hate you so much right now. I'm kidding. Anyway, so
what would be the Australian cousin, the potluck?
I don't know. I've never been to Australia.
I don't know. So
if there's anyone from Australia listening, and you know what a potluck is here, let us know what the Australian
That would be
version
cool.
Of it
yeah.
is.
All
right.
Get in touch.
So this series was created and has solely been written by Robert Kirkman. It started out with artist Corey Walker, who was issues 1 through 7, and he's actually been doing the last couple with this whole storyline
he's been happening. He pops in and out. Yeah.
And then the majority of the book has been done by one of my favorite artists, Ryan Ollie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean it looks amazing.
Ryan is quite a crazy artist, to say the least.
Right.
I mean, you know, I met him a couple years ago and I spent a lot of money at his table.
Yeah, you got me a really cool sketch and
well,
and everything,
you've seen the image of the print I bought.
Right.
And that if people are curious to see, he did like Scotty Young's been doing the baby stuff for Marvel and that. Ryan Ottley did a like toddler Invincible print.
Yeah.
And it is crazy awesome. Crazy awesome. Yeah.
So but yeah, and then Invincible's also shown up in a Marvel team up book.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man, which was awesome.
Yep.
And then he made his initial appearance in 2002 in Tech Jacket.
Yeah. Which was also
And who's Tech Jacket?
It's a kid who came across a suit, an alien spacesuit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an Iron Man. Yeah, Iron Man alien suit, I guess you could say. Exo Manowar type suit, too. You know, I don't know if Kirkman was a fan of Valiant.
Maybe.
Maybe a little bit, because it's kind of that. And, I mean, he's not like a character where, you know, he's had a lot to do. He's shown up in Invincible. He's had a couple miniseries. And I remember picking him up in a digest size book.
Okay.
That, like, the thing with Invincible and Tech Jacket was that I found them after The Walking Dead.
Right.
Because obviously
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead was the first book of Kirkman's I ever bought. You know, I think Invincible came out like 2 months before that and I didn't even know about it. And, you know, you start looking, researching into these writers when you come across a new writer. And I found out he was writing this book and I bought the first trade because number one was impossible to find.
Yeah, I mean, like, number one is valued close to
what? Number one is not as expensive as The Walking Dead number one, obviously, because of the popularity.
There.
But it's up there. It's a few hundred dollars.
Nice.
And that, I've seen maybe once at a comic show.
Oh, okay.
And I've not seen it.
Like, yeah, I've never
seen it at our local store or anything. You know, I've seen The Walking Dead. Obviously, people are like, you know, jumping on that. Get rid of them while they're expensive and I can make money off of them.
Right.
So I've seen a couple of those come through the store, but I don't think I've... Maybe one Invincible number one has come through Queen City.
Okay.
And that... trade paperbacks are fun because there's a lot of art sketches in the back between Corey and Ryan's art there. So you get a lot of that.
Yeah, their trade paperbacks are fun too.
Because of the sitcom.
Because they're all named after sitcoms.
Yeah.
You've got things like, well, it starts with Family Matters.
Right.
Currently, there's been a couple where they haven't.
The thing about the titles are sitcom titles, but they tie into the story.
Right, right, right.
Because, like, Family Matters is the first one, and it actually is the introduction of the character, finding out his dad is an alien and dealing with something his dad does.
Yeah, like My Favorite Martian, when they actually go to Mars.
They go to Mars, yeah. I mean, you know, Three's Company dealt with, like, relationship issues and that. I mean, everything has a little bit to do with the story. So it's one of those things where it's fun to see what they're using. And I'm like, even Reboot.
Right.
There was the cartoon called
Reboot. Right, that
was the Reboot. So, yeah, it's like one of those things where it was like, oh, cool.
I do like that there was Modern Family and then The War at Home.
Yeah.
Which was a Michael Rapaport show.
I think so, yeah.
With Rami Malek was in it.
Oh, really?
As, like, the weird kid next door.
Okay.
So,
because he kind of looks like the weird kid next
door. Well, yeah.
Like, how did you discover the book?
You.
Okay, I was the one who recommended it.
So you had talked about it for years, and I was like, I think I just finished buying all of the trades for Why the Last Man, and having read through the entire series twice, and it's like, all right, I need another series.
You were looking for something.
I was looking for something that was older, that wasn't Fables, because I'm just waiting until Fables ends, and then I'm going to read it all. Yeah.
You can read it now.
Okay, so... Yes.
You can read Preacher, you can read Fables, you can read The Sandman.
Yeah. Well, I read the first
Vertigo.
I read the first Sandman. Or not Sandman, Preacher. I've read Sandman here and there. Anyway. And so I was looking for something to do, and it was on sale on Comixology for the trades were like $4.99.
Oh wow,
each.
Okay.
So I bought the first three.
Yeah.
And I read through them in less than a day.
Okay.
And then I went back and I bought the rest of the ones that were available, I think, through Family Ties. So
wow.
16.
Okay.
So I'm late to this book. And then,
which a lot of people are. People,
I think
this is one of those books where it's like everybody talks about Kirkman with The Walking Dead and that. And it's one of those things where I really wish even he would push Invincible a little bit more, because he pushes The Walking Dead and he pushes Outcast, because obviously they're doing that as a series too.
And that's the new one. And
right, everything, yeah. So. But it's one of those things where I really wish that this book got more publicity, because I don't work as much at Queen City as I have in the past. But when I do work there and people come in and they ask, what's a book I can read that I haven't read? Like the people that I know that come in there all the time and new people, and I'll go back and I'll grab the first trade of Invincible. And I'll be like, this is the guy who writes The Walking Dead, that created The Walking Dead. And I'll be like, this is his better book. Cause I feel like the Invincible book is the better of the two books he writes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I started getting Invincible like monthly.
Yeah.
On issue 91.
Okay. Yeah.
So
you did come late to the party.
Yeah, I was like, but no, that was getting it like, because I did. Let's see. Yeah, Family Ties was the last.
Right. I'd have to go back and look when I started buying the regular issues, but that was just because I wasn't working on a normal basis
there.
Right. Right. Because what I would do is read the issue, then buy the trade. Because it was like, you know, the trades were easier to handle.
And honestly, the trades, like, I keep thinking about, like, next time there's, like, a sale, just getting all the trades.
Yeah.
Because part of the reason, and I don't mind buying things twice, but there's artwork at the end like character studies and sketches and things
It's even the thing where they do the collected hardcover ones, and there is a lot of like everything that's in the trades is in those books. So every like end sketch book is in there. And I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's very accessible. This book is very accessible. You buy the first trade and you're in the universe. This is a universe that Kirkman has created.
Yeah.
He's created all the villains, all the heroes. It's his creation. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where he this book shows you that he is a comic book fan.
Oh, yeah.
Where Walking Dead shows you he's a horror fan. Mm-hmm. This book shows you he's a comic book fan because there's stories where you're like, that kind of reminds me of this Iron Man issue or this. And it's like, but it's not a ripoff.
Well,
it is literally him coming up with an idea and going, what if they would have done it this way? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, why didn't they do it this way?
So, like, one of my favorite things is how he does the homages things, right? The other thing is the satire and the tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Mark Grayson going to the comic book store because he has a pull list.
Yeah.
And he reads Science Dog.
Right.
Which, if you're a fan of Walking Dead. And Science
Dog is shown up in the book.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of Walking Dead, that was the shirt Carl wore in the first season, first couple seasons.
It still shows up once in a while.
But, like, it does. But it's so funny because, like, he talked to the artist who did Science Dog at one point.
Yeah.
And he was like, the guy kind of like was like, well, you do these scenes where you just use the same panel over and over again. Yep. And as he's talking about it, that's what they're doing in the book.
Right.
So it's like that tongue in cheek. It's that like kind of peek behind the curtain. The other thing is like what you talked about, how they'll do things differently. Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that he introduced, and I never thought of it, is Mark was in a fight with a guy and he just flew him up into space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why Superman doesn't just end every fight
and
that
way? And it's one of those things where he, you know, he's not the smartest superhero.
Well, he's...
But it's one of those things where he's a reactionary superhero. Mm-hmm. And when I think it was... He figured out that the guy could survive, but he would pass out.
Right.
And he takes him up and knocks him out pretty much without having to really beat the hell out of him. Because he was one of those guys where he's not as strong as Invincible, but he's impenetrable to Invincible knocking the crap out of him.
So I think you hit the nail on the head. He's not smart. What he is he's the world's most average person.
Yeah.
Who gets superpowers.
Yeah.
Whose dad is the world's most extraordinary person.
Right.
And
yeah, because his dad like is a travel writer. And the only reason he's a travel writer is because he's a superhero that nobody knew he was, and he would write about the places he had been.
Mm-hmm.
And including like sci-fi books he wrote as a younger man.
Yeah.
That he had been to those places too.
But the sci-fi books he wrote were about his adventures as a Viltrumite, like when they were in the Empire. So no, I really like that. But what makes this book special is the relationships between the characters.
Yeah.
And not just like the good times, but the bad.
Right.
Like, you know, there's a character named Robot who starts out as a hero and then becomes something different. I'm not going to call him a villain.
No, because I don't think he's a
villain. I don't think he's wrong. But he is...
He's done what he felt is right
for
that. And it literally is. It's literally when you take a hero to a certain point and then you look at Superman. Then that's kind of what Robot's come into being. And that because he's gained enough power where it's like, you know, Superman could just be like, you know what, the world's wrong and I'm gonna fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And Robot literally did that.
Well, and
he
didn't
have to get your hands dirty,
but he did it somewhere else first.
Yeah.
And when he came back, he was like, wait a second,
yeah, I can do this again.
I can do that here,
yeah,
because I liked doing
it. Yeah, the Flaxen Empire,
the Flaxens. But no, and then the relationship between Mark and Eve, Adam Eve, who is hands down one of the best superheroines ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you talk about a Mount Rushmore of female superheroes, you know, it's Wonder Woman, it's Batgirl, it's Adam Eve,
right?
Top three, you know, it's...
But she's a character who doesn't need to be saved.
Never.
And when he attempts to save her, he screws himself because it's... And this is probably my favorite villain, Angstrom Levy.
Wow.
Who has control of going to parallel worlds.
Mm-hmm.
He attacks his family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mark not being smart and being reactionary, the first thing he thinks is, I have to defend everybody.
Right.
And she pretty much defends herself while he's getting bounced around parallel universes. Oh, yeah. And he literally, like, has encounters with, like, things that you're like, oh, I want to see more of that.
Well, and
story.
That's how he ended up in the Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah. Book. That's the Marvel team up. I think, what is it, 13?
Yeah. 14.
14.
So,
which Kirkman was writing that book at that time. Right. He was working for Marvel too. So he wrote the whole, that Marvel team up storyline. And it just happened that that one book fell into a perfect, you know, area where he could just do a story with Invincible. Yep. And Marvel was like, yeah, that's cool. You can use your character.
Yep. And then the other cool thing about this is, you know, the superheroes of this universe work with the government.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes for interesting storytelling. Yep. And, you know, Cecil is a great, like, just ambiguously motivated character. Like,
a better version of Nick Fury.
He's like,
because you know that in his past that he did stuff that like really bad. I mean, well, he's scarred up and his face is, he's not missing an eye, but his face looks like it just went through a
meat grinder. Go through about why that happened and things like that. But
this is one of those books where you have to go back and reread it over and over again.
I love rereading so much this book.
Stuff going on in this.
You know, you have the villains like D.A. St. Clair,
who
is, you know, Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's like a cross between Frankenstein and Dr. Doom.
Yeah, you know, without the magic. Right. You have Oliver, who is Mark's brother, who is half alien bug race, half Viltrumite, but he looks human. And
yeah, because he looks like his dad.
He does, but he doesn't ever, like, he has no humanity.
Right.
Which makes him such a great character, because Mark is all humanity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, Mark grew up on Earth, and it's like, Oliver's actually said, I don't belong here.
Right.
And that, so, you know,
I'd like to kill all of you sometimes. Right, yeah. So,
well, sure.
And this book tackles interesting things. Like, there is a part where Mark is raped by a more powerful Viltrumite woman. And, you know, we're still dealing with the fallout of that. Yep. And, you know, it's
you
very,
knew
very
you knew what was coming. You knew that was coming. And it's like the last issue actually had that as the last page. And you're like, oh yeah, this one's coming.
So, and then you have things like, you know,
how many kids do you think he's got out there now? We know two, and that's not a spoiler.
Well, there's Tara, his daughter, and then whatever the boy. This one is.
Yeah.
But
do you think there's more?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
He left and went and fought the Viltrumites in the war.
Yeah.
He left Eve behind.
Right.
But they had sex before he left. That night before he left, they had sex. When he came back, she had gained weight. And they never acknowledged why she had gained weight.
She did, because she...
She told him a story. Oh, okay. And I'm like, there's another kid
maybe
out there that, like, we don't know about yet. That she didn't know what to do with it. Because obviously it's his kid.
And she
kid,
gave it up.
And she gave it up to Cecil.
Maybe, yeah.
And I'm like, man, that'd be interesting. I'm like, if it's like, that'll be one of those long game stories where you're like, holy shit. It's like,
it's going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah. So. Like, you know, because when he jumps to the future and fights the Immortal, who's one of the characters in there, they acknowledge him having like multiple kids.
Yeah.
And it's true. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, it was one of those things where it was cool because they did Eve, where, you know, he comes back and she had gained weight because she was kind of depressed. And
yeah, she went through some things.
Yeah, she went through some things, and it's like, well, you need to acknowledge what those things were, because my whole thing the whole time is, I'm like, she got pregnant.
Yeah, maybe.
She literally got pregnant, because it's one of those things where, you know, Kirkman...
I just took I took it as she was sad.
Oh, see, so, like, no. But he writes. No, but he's writes people as, you know, I knew this guy,
and he's very Claremontian. Literally, it's
like his characters, even in The Walking Dead. It's like, I knew this guy who did this thing. Well, you've heard the story. Like, we've all heard the stories of a guy and girl one night stand, and she gets pregnant, and I'm like, dude, it's like, this is just he was gone long enough,
right?
That it's like, oh my god, it's like there's another kid somewhere out there,
or she had a kid and it's somebody else's, but
just think that would be kind of a cool story, and it's not, you know, that's the reason why she got fat and that, but I'm like, man, it kind of was like a coincidental
okay
to me.
That's interesting. That's a really cool take on it. Yeah, and then his mom, Debbie, who's just the most normal, down-to-earth.
Yeah,
know?
Like, she, it's like all this crazy
stuff. But she
stuff.
Loves the fact that she's married to a superhero.
Sure, but
you know?
It's like this, yeah. You know, all the crazy stuff goes around, and she's not lost her mind yet.
But there's some great heroes in this world.
Yeah.
You've got the immortal, who was Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, you have, you know, Black Samson, who's like a Luke Cage type character, but like loses his powers and becomes like a Tony Stark type character. You've got Rexplode, who I think is one of the cooler. Just he can essentially create explodable projectiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like Gambit, like.
Yeah, literally, like, the characters are like, oh, that, you recognize them as something, but it's one of those things where, like I said, he mm-hmm. twists them enough.
Like, you have Duplicate,
like,
who's, like, Triplicate
Jamie
Girl.
Madrix,
well,
I mean, you know.
Well, and I was even going Legend of Superhero, or Legion of Superheroes with Triplicate Girl.
Yeah.
So, she's similar to that. Bulletproof, who is a great, great character, because you want to talk about a hero who always has the best of intentions. But never gets anything right.
Yeah.
Bulletproof is that guy. Like, he even becomes invincible for a while.
Yeah.
You know.
I think he still is invincible.
Yeah, he still has the, I think he wears the old suit, though.
Right,
but,
yeah.
And then you have Monster Girl, who is a little girl who was cursed by a gypsy. Or, a woman who was cursed by a gypsy to kind of de-age, like Benjamin Button style.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
But she can turn into a monster.
Yeah, she turns into a giant, like, hulking monster who's, like, pretty awesome. You have Shapesmith, who's a Martian who can, you know, change shapes.
Yeah.
Shocker. Darkwing, who's not a duck, unfortunately. I was really disappointed when they showed Darkwing.
Hey, they haven't shown all the alternate Earths that Invincible exists on.
And so, like, there's Kid Thor, which is cool.
Yeah.
But no, so you have people like for the enemies. We talked about Angstrom Levy, right? You have the Viltrumite Empire, who Mark's half Viltrumite, which that series, the Viltrumite War, is one of my favorite arcs about this, right?
Well, you find out things where you're like, they sound like the baddest asses in the universe, and then you find out things about them, and you're like, oh, you're like literally reading it, and you're going, oh, okay.
So that's why they
act. Yeah, that's why they're doing what they're doing.
You have Battle Beast,
who just an awesome looking design.
He's
character.
This giant white tiger who, you know, is awesome. The Flax, since we talked about them, D.A. Sinclair. Doc Seismic, who's a personal favorite for myself.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to be a bad guy so bad.
You left one off the
list.
What? You left one off.
Who'd
the
I
list?
Leave off?
Dinosaurus.
Well, I told you that. They didn't have I couldn't find a bio for him.
Well, because he's Dinosaurus.
Yeah. So Dinosaurus. But, I would not put Dinosaurus as an enemy. I would have put him as a friends and allies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Mark, the arc with Dinosaurus.
Yeah.
Mark turned his back on everybody.
Right.
And Dinosaurus, I'm sorry, was not wrong about anything that he did.
Robots probably like answered, answered that question that Dinosaurus was asking.
Yeah.
You know, Dinosaurus was pushing the whole thing of, you know, what we need to do to make the world better.
Right.
And I think that's why Robot tried it with the Flaxons and then came back and went, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, yeah, this book, it's just got this rich, vibrant universe that's been created. And I definitely recommend anybody who is a fan of superheroes, who is a fan of people with powers, people who are in that dare to be great situation to check this out.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stories. I mean, like I said, once you start reading from the beginning, you're going to read it all.
So, yeah.
It's like, if you're a fan of superhero comics, this truly is one of the best superhero comics around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the continuity doesn't get crazy. You know, it is a crazy book and that, but I mean, you know, he's got a whole universe in one book and he is, you know, pulling all the strings and it's better than anything we're seeing from Marvel or DC.
I hate to say that, but it is true. It's the book I look forward to reading most.
Yeah.
Every month.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, probably, you know, I get behind on some books, but there's probably five books that I could say like off the top of my head that I will read like immediately or, you know, the next day. Mm-hmm. And and two of them are Kirkman books.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
yep.
I don't know if he's really a nice guy in person. He seems like he is. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I would probably give him a hug because I'd be like, you know, thanks for Invincible. Thanks for The Walking Dead too, but thanks for Invincible. And that, you know, thanks for doing The Walking Dead so I could find Invincible.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I mean, there's characters that are in this book that he created before and after that you'll see, like Britt and the mm-hmm. Astonishing Wolfman.
Tech Jacket.
Yeah. You know. And Tech Jacket. And I mean, it's one of those things where since they're all creator owned characters, he can bring them in and out. And then once, you know, it's one of those things where I want to see, like, you know, what Mark Millar is doing with Millar World right. annuals. I want to see a Skybound annual where he does a story when the whole thing was going on with Angstrom Levy where mm-hmm. Mark meets Rick Grimes.
Yeah.
I would really like to see
that. Get someone to draw it for you.
That would be kind of an awesome story to just see a conversation between the two.
Yeah.
And, you know, at any point in Rick Grimes' history.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so definitely keep an eye out for this book.
We've shown some love.
Yeah. It's totally worth reading. Check Comixology. They always have sales going
on. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
if not,
you know, I'm more of a, I like to hold it in my hand, but it's one of those things where definitely this is a recommend.
It was
on any.
It was the one medium. Where I started reading it digitally.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? I'm so far behind. I'm never going to find these in print.
Right.
So trades are in print.
The early books are kind of hard to find.
Yeah. The early issues.
Yeah. Before. Probably 30. Like 30.
Yeah.
So yeah, I found a few at half.
I've seen like 21 once or twice, but that's the anyway.
But I mean, beautiful art, beautiful story. You know,
yep.
It's the art fits the book.
Yeah.
Lots of blood.
It is gory as all get out.
There's some stuff in there where it's like, woo.
There was a villain named Conquest.
Yeah.
And this was the last
Conquest
thing.
And
Conquest is amazing.
Second favorite villain after Angstrom.
At one point punches through Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how invincible Mark is. He survived it. And there is a great bit of art, and it was the background of my computer for years, where Mark punches through the robotic hand.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful picture. Yep. Like, that's what I want from Ryan Ottley. Like, I want to buy that page. Like, if it's still available, that is like, you know, that would go there.
If you're listening, Ryan.
Dear Ryan Ottley. All right. One other thing of note this week, I have more than twice the books that Johnny has.
Wow.
On my list. I'm surprised you didn't have Battlestar Galactica on yours.
I've quit comic books.
But
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Anyway. But yeah.
No, I literally like put one book on my list just for a recommend from somebody who was like, read this and don't read this. And Animosity, I'm very curious to see. Cool.
Yeah, you didn't get Tokyo Ghost this week.
Yeah.
You giving up on it?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
I'm cutting back. It's some things are going to just go trade, I think.
Cool.
So.
All right. You know. Well, on that note, the Infamous Podcast can be found wherever podcasts are found on the interwebs. Did you know that?
Yes.
We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much any other podcast. I know. I was trying to do that. You can find links to everywhere where we are on our website.
You got to do like a made for, or what is it? As seen on TV commercial.
Yeah.
The Infamous Podcast coming to you on all these different internet stations.
Yes. I'm going to apologize for chomping on a cough drop here for the last few minutes because I'm just getting over a cold.
You're sick. It's allowed.
Anyway.
It happens.
But if.
What did you say? We're on iTunes. Oh, we're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. We're on our website.
On our website.
InfamousPodcast.com.
I actually listen to podcasts on an app called Overcast.
Okay.
It's a great app on iOS and Android.
Okay.
Totally get that and support them. They have a Patreon that they give like special access to.
Cool.
Which came out after I paid for the app.
Okay.
So anyway.
And through all the apps, you can link to our website where you can go back and listen to a lot of different content.
Yep. Every show.
We talk toys. We talk movies. Mm-hmm. We talk The Walking Dead. You know, there's interviews with people and that, like Jay Torres,
yep,
who writes The Mighty Zodiac, mm-hmm, and Christian Colbert, and
Brandon Montclair, who writes Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, yep, which is awesome.
Yep.
Like, that book has gotten so good. So I'm so happy they uncanceled it.
I'm behind on that one.
But yeah. And if you like the theme music on our show, it's done by a band called Silent Partner. The song is called Pomade. Yeah. It sounds kind of like The Daily Show.
And where can they find you?
They can find me online at Brian Tudor. Just actually, just find me on Twitter, and there's a link that takes you to all my social networks.
On Twitter?
On Twitter. Okay. At Brian Tudor. Like the house. And Brian spelled the right way.
And not a magician.
Nope. Ta-da.
Yeah. Ta-da. And I will pull nothing out of my hat because I don't have a hat or a rabbit.
Or magical powers.
Yeah, well, you know. So, anyway. One of the Brian Tudors out there does.
And Johnny can be found.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which every once in a while I put something up there.
Every once in a while.
Instagram is probably one of the ones to watch, like, for cool, yeah, pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And that, and you know, when's my 1 year anniversary on here coming up?
You're episode 11, so a couple months.
Oh, still a couple months?
Yeah.
Wow. It seemed like.
So you were on number 2.
Yeah.
Then you filled in on number 7, and then you took over officially on number 11.
Oh, okay.
So it's coming up. I'm going to get you a nice gold watch for your 1 year anniversary.
Oh, I was going to say, if it was my 1 year anniversary, you could ask me what I'm going to do because of my 1 year anniversary.
Quit.
I'm going to Disney World.
You actually, right around that time, you will be going to Disney World.
I'll be going in November.
So, yep.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, if you have questions about Invincible, you can reach us at contact@infamouspodcast.com, or, like I said, hit us up on our website.
Yeah, I'll be happy to recommend any books that you want to. Yeah. Maybe try.
And, you know, if you have other comic book or TV or movie characters that you'd like us to talk about, email us at contact@infamouspodcast.com, and we will be happy to do the research.
Or I'll send you the grumpy cat going, no.
No. All right, guys. Have a great day, night, weekend, evening, whatever it is that you happen to be listening to this.
Have a good one, everyone.
Later.